Okay, we're going to start. We're going to take a few minutes to be Mekayim, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, Lachitzas HaMeis. The Mishnah in Seitz Daf Amtes says, Mishameis Rabbi Akiva Batl Kavod HaTorah. Rabbi Akiva died, that was the end of Kavod HaTorah. Then the Mishnah goes through a few such things. The Mishnah says, Mishameis Rabbi Mendoisa, Batlu Anshe Meisa, Mishameis Rabbi Yaisi Kutnasa, Batlu Chasidim, Mishameis Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, Batal Zif HaChachma. And then it says, Mishameis Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein, Batal Kavod HaTorah. So the Mishnah says, hey, wait, Kavod HaTorah, you just said that already. Mishameis Rabbi Akiva, Batal Kavod HaTorah. Then it says, Mishameis Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein, Batal Kavod HaTorah. So Rashi says that there's different kinds of Kavod HaTorah. So what was the Kavod HaTorah Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein? What was the Kavod HaTorah Rabbi Akiva? So after Rashi, Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein, the Gemara says in Megillah, that he would only learn Torah standing up. That practice disappeared, and then people took the liberty of sitting down when they were learning Torah. So Mamlila Zakin represented a degree of energy, of throwing all of your koyach into Limud HaTorah that after he was gone disappeared. What was the Kavod HaTorah Rabbi Akiva? Rashi says, because the Gemara tells in Sanhedrin that Rabbi Akiva hayadayrish akol koitz v'koitz tila tila mashal alachais. So we all, we think of that yes. Gemara. The Gemara says even more, akol koitz v'koitz, meaning every corner of every letter, tila tila mashal alachais. So when you learn that Gemara in Sanhedrin, the what catches your eye, the emphasis of the Gemara seems to be on the tila tila mashal alachais, how much he was darshaning. But Rashi over here in Saita, Geshmak HaMara Makam, Rashi over here in Saita says, that the emphasis over there is the al kol kites for kites, that he didn't leave out a single part of Torah that it shouldn't be darshined. That if there's a kites of a letter that nobody was darshining, he was darshining it. And Rashi says, and that's a big covet for the Torah, that there isn't any corner of it that isn't being developed. So those are the two different kinds of kavod HaTorah. What's probably most well known about Rav Chaim Kanievsky probably is his Erev Pesach Siyum and the Siddurim that led up to it. Erev Pesach, Rav Chaim Kanievsky was a Bachar. Erev Pesach is a Tanis for Bachayrim unless you make a Siyum. So, right, many of us, we go to Shul and we latch onto some kind of a Siyum on something. So, Rav Chaim Kanievsky made a Siyum every year Erev Pesach on Shas Bavli and Yerushalmi and Tosefta, Sifra Sifri and Mechilta. And the Zohar, and all the Midrashim, and all the Rambam, and the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch. That was the Siyum that he made every year Erev Pesach, which, meaning that he had a daily regimen of learning whatever number of pages it took in each of those texts to complete all of them on Erev Pesach. Now, that's very well known. What's maybe a little bit less well known is this Seder was not his day job. Rav Kanievsky, this goes back to when he was 20 years old. Rav Kanievsky in his 20s, his 30s, his 40s, his 50s, he was part of a kollel. A kollel, like every kollel, there's a masechta that the kollel is learning. And that's what he was busy with, first Seder, second Seder, and night Seder. So when was he doing this? This was between Chatzais Laila and Shachras. In other words, he woke up early before Shachras to learn this Chazara Seder. He would start it at approximately midnight and go until Shachris to learn his eighth blot of Bavli and whatever amount of Yushalmi and five pages a day of Rambam, etc., and all of these Svarim. And naturally, he would sometimes fall behind because this is an extremely ridiculous amount to try to squeeze into whatever number of hours that was. And so then he would be trying to find minutes during the day where he could be mashlim, what he used to call his chayvais, to keep up to date. Anybody that has had some experience with daf yomi has some sense of that if you have a daily quota, so then if you miss a day, so it becomes very pressured to try to catch up. So he had that on a much larger scale, so that there was a pressure, he created it, but a tremendous pressure that was placed on him to squeeze out every minute, every moment that to be maximizing as much Limud HaTorah as he could into that time. So that it was a degree of amelus in Torah that really, there isn't anyone else that we've seen that that could give us that sense of the all-in energy that would be applied to Kavodat Torah. This is the Kavodat Torah of Rav Gamliel HaZaken.
We can't even comprehend it.
Right, we can't. And this, I think, represents the Kavodat Torah of Rav Gamliel HaZaken, as one of the two Kavodat Torahs in the Mishnah. Now, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, another interesting thing about him is he was a very, very prolific author. He loved to write Svarim. He wrote many, many Svarim in his lifetime. His most important work, by far, is his Derech Emunah, which he took on, I think it started in the 1980s. This was like the second half of his career, so to speak. This is the Derech Emunah, the Chofetz Chaim wrote a Sefer Mishneh Berurah. A Yid, on a regular basis, we do mitzvahs like Kriya Shema, Shabbos, Netilas Yadayim, Pesach. You have to know how to do these mitzvahs. The Mishneh Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim wrote a Sefer Mishneh Berurah on these areas halacha. Nowadays, there's already, 750,000, 1,000,000 Yidden in an Eretz Yisrael that are Shomer Torah mitzvahs, that are keeping mitzvahs like a chicken pei, and shum, and meister, and meister sheni, and bikurim, and shemitah, that were never really kept, for many, many centuries on a regular basis by regular Yidden. And so there's a need for a similar sefer on Inyanei Yisrael. So that's the Sefer Derech Emunah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky rolled up his sleeves to undertake that task, and he made a Mishneh Berurah style sefer on Inyan Yisrael. It's five volumes. That's called the Sefer Derech Emunah. That's probably his most impactful sefer. That's not Mishneh Berurah style. That's more on Lamdash Inyanim within Yisrael. But earlier in his career, the Svarim that Chaim Kanievsky was writing, he actually was very creative. It was a very interesting, I would almost say, hobby that he had. I'll tell you a few titles. He wrote a sefer called Pascheken Haksav on the Sugyas and Shas dealing with the laws of tattoos. He wrote a sefer called Karni Chagovim on the Sugyas and Shas dealing with the laws of grasshoppers. He wrote a sefer Nachal Eson on the Sugyas and Shas dealing with the laws of Egla Arufa.
You know the story with the grasshopper, right?
Yeah, that's such a story. His brother will set it over by the Levaya.
Yeah.
He wrote a sefer Shekel HaKodesh on the Rambam Hilchas Kiddush HaKodesh. He wrote Pirushim. There are a few Masechtas. We know that there's a Masechtas, like the full-fledged Masechtas, Brachas, there's a Mishnayis, there's a Talmud Bavli, there's a Talmud Yushalmi, and there are some Masechtas that have Mishnayis and Bavli, but no Yushalmi. Mm-hmm. There's like Kachim, there's Masechtas that have Mishnayis and Yushalmi, but no Bavli, like Zerayim. There's Masechtas that have Mishnayis, but no Bavli and no Yushalmi, like Taras. Then there are Masechtas that have no Mishnayis and no Bavli and no Yushalmi. So how are they Masechtas? Mm-hmm. They're just braises. There's a Masechta called Masechas Kusim, Masechas Avodim, Masechas Geirim, and then some are more familiar topics, but again, they're just braises. Masechas Tfilin, Masechas Tzitzis, Masechas Mezuzah. Mm-hmm. Six Masechtas that have no Mishnayis, no Bavli, no Yerushalmi. So who's learning them? So Chaim Kanievsky wrote Pirushim on those six Masechtas. So his idea was those far-flung corners of the Torah that nobody was learning. Doyresh Einla, Michlal Deboi Drisha, everything has to be learned. Kol Koitz for Koitz. So he wrote and went and wrote Svarim on each of those, on those Inyanim or those Masechtos. So that's what Rashi is describing as the Kavod HaTorah of Rabbi Akiva, al Kol Koitz for Koitz. So that's the Kavod HaTorah of Rabbi Akiva. We described before the Kavod HaTorah of Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken. These are the two Kavod HaTorahs that the Mishnah Sefer describes. So b'yameinu anu, really, b'mloy muvan amila, misha meisav Chaim Kanievsky, batal kavod haTorah. Now, Rav Chaim's life changed very dramatically about 40 years ago, 38 years ago or so. His father, the Stipler Gaon, the Stipler and Rav Shach were the two leaders of the Torah world in Eretz Yisrael. His father, the Stipler, was Nifter in Tavshin Memhe, that's 1985. And at the end of the Shiva, Rav Shach was saying a Hesper. Rav Shach was the Shiva of Panovich, and he was saying a Hesper in the basement of Panovich for the Stipler going. And he said a sentence. He said about the Stipler, Shehiniach ben kamoisai. that he left over a son like him. And with those words, he blew the cover off of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he was transformed into a public figure. And this yid that was learning, I don't know how many hours a day, but when we described before, you know, what, how his morning started around Chatzos, I don't know when he went to sleep at night, and how much he, you know, he packed into all the minutes in between. Was he learning 17 hours a day, 20 hours a day, something in between? I don't know. But then in 1985, right, when he was, what would he, then he was around 60s. 57 years 60s. Old, he became a public figure overnight. Rav Shach made him into a public figure. And then Sibur Dikazachin, you know, when there were communal decisions that needed to be made, the movers and shakers were all coming to him. Tzedakah Inyanim, his influence was used, as everybody knows very well, his influence was exploited, whatever, was certainly used to raise tremendous amounts of money. That's on a public scale. And then for, you know, private people, he's, you know, Rav Shach said he's the God Ladar, so people started to come to him for brachos, for etzis, for shilas. In the 1980s, it started slow through the 90s and the 2000s until eventually it became, as most people know, that in recent years, it was hours and hours a day that were devoted to Kabbalas HaKahal. Now, most people think that they have a somewhat busy schedule. I use my time well. I have, you know, I have maybe a little bit of downtime, but mostly, you know, I have a work, I have my storm, I have my family time. But, you know, if somebody would ask me, do you have a couple of hours a week to devote to such and such a cause, I think most people would find it hard to acquiesce to such a request. And most people's pressure in their day did not come close to what, you know, what we described before. I think one of the things that his son said by the Levaya, his son of Shlomo Kanievsky said over by the Levaya, that when the Stipler died, so during the year of Avelos, he was giving a shir, Matzah Shabbos, a once-a-week shir in Talmud Yerushalmi for the Ilumim and Abrach. And they finished Masechus Brachas, and then they started Masechus Shabbos, and then the year ended. He didn't want to stop in the middle of a Masechta, so they finished Masechus Shabbos, and they said, okay, he disbanded the shir, that's all. So, but people were disappointed because it was a nice shir, they liked it. So Shlomo Kanievsky said that he went to his father and he asked him, why don't you continue? And he said, I don't have the time. I don't have the time to prepare. So Shlomo Kanievsky asked his father, how much time do you spend preparing? He said, about 5 minutes. This is for a weekly shir. 5 minutes a week, and it was Talmud Torah to Rabin. But he couldn't spare the 5 minutes. At that time, in 1985, he couldn't spare the 5 minutes a week because his minutes were so eiske cheshben. And yet, in recent years, it was hours every day, 7 days a week, that were taken out of his time for devoting his time to other people, for people that wanted him, for many of them for narishkeiten, some of them for serious things, but people that wanted him. I think it's very meaningful because I think most of us, I mean everybody, all of us, really, you know, we could say wow about his limud haTorah, his hasmada, his accomplishments in learning, but we have very little shaychus. What can we really get out of that, because it was on a whole different stratosphere than what we're we can connect to. But what about the Avas Yisrael that this describes? That somebody who was so busy, so much more than other people, and when Yidden came and Yidden needed him or wanted him, and he was able to take so many hours out of his time on a daily basis because, you know, if he felt and, you know, that degree of Avas Yisrael, I think, is something that everybody could be nis'eirah from. That's something that we could have shaykhs to, but even in that area, we feel like very small people in the presence of a giant when we contemplate him. I want to just end with one very unusual perspective on Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Moriv Rabbi Rav Kalman Epstein met Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the sandbox. He, when Rav Kalman was a bacher learning in Yerushalayim, he used to go on Fridays to B'nai Brak because he had a kesher with the Rosh Hashiva of Panovich of Shmuel Rozovsky, and he used to go and they would talk and learning. And they would walk around the Nebrak and talk and learning. And walking past the playground, Rav Chaim Kanievsky was sitting in the sandbox playing with his children. It was Erev Shabbos, and it was, you know, it was Rav Chaim Kanievsky doing what good husbands throughout the Jewish world do. It's Erev Shabbos. His wife needed to make Shabbos. She can't make Shabbos with all the little kids underfoot. And so he was taking them out and playing in the playground. I wouldn't say it's a story of godless. It's a story that maybe just puts a little bit of a more human touch on him. It's not a perspective that, you know, certainly in recent decades that anybody has had. But that was also part of his legacy. You know, a husband, a father that was connected, that was involved. Obviously, you know, within the limits of his extremely demanding, grueling schedule. But there was that also.
Did you ever meet him?
No, I never did. These are some of the glimpses of the godless of Rav Chaim Kanievsky that the Jewish people lost this week. Okay, in Parshas Tzav, you have some psukim that it says Moshe Rabbeinu took Aaron and Vayitein Alav Asakutaynes. Vayachter Oisei Ba'avneit, Vayalbish Oisei Es Hamil, Vayitein Alav Es Ha'Efoid, Vayachter Oisei B'Cheish Va'Efoid. Okay, so we see he's putting on the Big Day Kahuna one by one. These psukim get brought down in the Rambam, in the beginning of Parak Yud Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. The Rambam says, Ketzad Seder Levisha, what's the order of putting on the Big Day Kahuna? And he says, taking straight out of these psukim, what goes first, what goes second, what goes third. The Nisikalim over there, in particular the Ma'ari Kurkis, points out it's a very unusual piece of Rambam, because every Rambam comes out of a Gemara, or sometimes a Yerushalmi, a Medrash, but this Rambam, the Ketzad Seder Levisha, there's actually no Gemara anywhere that says that there are rules about how the Kohen gets dressed, what goes on first, what goes on second. I mean, some things are intuitive, you know, yeah, in order for it to work, you have to put one thing on before the other, but that there should be dinim about what goes on first, what goes on second. We don't find it anywhere in a Gemara. The Rambam says, Ketzad Seder Levisha. Where did this Seder Levisha come from? So the Ma'ari Kurkis, is one of the Nisei Kalim on the Rambam, says it comes from the Pesukim. That I don't know if there's anywhere else in the Rambam that you have such a thing, that there's a halacha in the Rambam that comes straight out of the Pesukim. The Ma'ari Kurkis says, where did this come from? Parshas Tzav. You see in these Pesukim that there's a Seder Levisha. Now, if you take a look in the Rambam over there, you'll find that something very interesting, and this really does come from the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Yates and elsewhere, that there was one more item. Everybody knows how many Big Day Kahuna were there. The Kohen Gadol had 8 Begadim, the Kohen Hedid had 4 Begadim. The Rambam, he goes to the Seder Levisha of the 8 and of the 4, and then he says, and there's one more, that right under the hat, and above, if it was the Kohen Gadol, above the tzitz, there was some space. Sarai ha'yanira bein sitzla mitznefes, v'sham ha'yu tefillin menachem. V'sham ha'yu meniach tefillin. The Kohen would put tefillin on. When he did the avodah, he would do the avodah with tefillin, and the tefillin would be lower than the hat, higher than the tzitz. That's where it was the tefillin. Now, there was something extremely unique about the hanachas tefillin of the Kohanim. Everybody puts on tefillin, but the hanachas tefillin of the Kohanim was very unique, because the Kehanim wore only a tefillah shel Rosh and not a tefillah shel Yad. Because on the arm, the Kohen was wearing a ksaines, that's one of the Big Day Kahuna, and all of the Big Day Kahuna have Hilchit Chatzitza. You can't have, because the Pazik says, the Al Basarai Ulavesham, that they have to wear the Begadim Al Basarai on their body, on their skin, directly. You can't have something between the skin and the begadim. So the tefillah shel yad would be chaitzeitz between the kohen's arm and the ksainis. The ksainis had sleeves, so it would be mafsik, would be chaitzeitz between the arm and the ksainis. Can't have that. So he didn't wear a tefillah shel yad. But the tefillah shel roish, there was no chatzitza problem, because he right over here, you don't have to wear anything. The misnefes is up here. And the tzitz is over here, it's right over here, there's nothing there, so it's not interfering with any Big Day Kahuna, so the tefillah shel Rosh you could wear. But it's really very, it really goes against our experience. If you think about your daily routine with your tefillin, you take out the shel yad first, you put on the tefillah shel yad, Then you put on the tefillah shel rosh. At the end of davening, when it comes time to take them off, you take off the shel rosh, and then you take off the shel yad. Now, we do it already out of habit. You've been doing it since your bar mitzvah, that you were taught that that's how you do it. But if you think about it, it's a little bit of an unusual order. We flip around the order. When we're putting it on, we do the shel yad and then the shel rosh. And that makes sense. That's the seder of the pasuk, right? But then when we're taking them off, we flip around the order. We do the shel rosh before the shel yad. So the Gemara says, the Gemara Menachas, Avraham Vav, that it's because the pasuk says v'hayu l'tayitavis b'neinecha, when it's talking about the shel rosh, it says v'hayu l'shen rabim kol zman shebeinecha yushtayim. There is a hakpada that if you have the shel rosh on, you have to have both filling on. On the shel yad, there's no such hakpada. A person can have a shel yad without a shel rosh. So you know that. So we do that every day, even though we're putting on both, but for a few seconds on each end, we have the shel yad without the shel rosh. But we never have the shel rosh without the shel yad. And if somebody for whatever reason, you know, had a headache or something and he can't put on the shel rosh, so he puts on the shel yad. But if he just today or right now can't put on the shel yad, or let's say he doesn't have the shel yad, he's waiting for the shel yad, he doesn't put on the shel rosh. He has to wait till he has the shel yad to get the shel rosh. Somebody who has a serious injury and can never put on the shel yad is a different story. That is a discussion of Adam Paiskim. But the normal routine is with a hakpada that the shel rosh is never worn without a shel yad. But the kehanim violated that hakpada. The kehanim wore only a shel rosh and not a shel yad. The Gemara in Erechin brings us that. In Erechin Daf Gimel, the Gemara brings down a braisa. It's a funny braisa. It says, "Hakol chayavim betfilin kehanim v'levim v'yisraelim." Everybody has to wear tefillin, whether you're a kohen or a laborer or a yisrael. So that's a funny braisa. Why would you have a havamina that in the midst of tefillin there should make any difference whether you're a kohen or a laborer or a yisrael? So the Gemara says, "No, because the chiddush is the kehanim, and it means b'shas avidasan, because they can't wear the shel yad." So you'd think that since they can't wear the shel yad, they should be potter from the shel rosh, because you can't have a shel rosh without a shel yad. Called man shebein anecha yushtayim. Kamash malon, that even though we do have such a hakpada, but the kehanim, since they couldn't wear the shel yad, they wore the shel rosh without a shel yad. That big chiddush that you could wear the shel rosh without the shel yad, that's why the Braisa has to teach us that. Kol chayavim kehanim v'yisraelim, even kehanim achayim in the midst of tefillin. So this hanachas tefillin of the kehanim was this very unusual type of a hanachas tefillin, that it was a shel rosh without a shel yad.
Why does it say levim?
And Yisraelim.
Yisraelim, you understand.
No, it says Hakol. No,
that Kahanim is the...
Right, the Chiddush is only the Kahanim.
It's the Chiddush.
Right, the only one that's the Chiddush is Kahanim. Agav, the Kahanim, it says Levim and the Yisraelim. But the only Chiddush is in the Kahanim.
Okay. Why isn't there a Tzura of the Shel Rosh, a Chetzitza?
A Chetzitza to what?
To the hat.
The tits.
Oh.
Everything's
on it. So we'll come to that. If we have time at the end of the shir, to the Psile Hatzitz. So I hope to get to that at the end of the shiur if we have time. So now on this braisa that says Hakol Chayavim, and we're saying and the chiddush is the kehanim and the chiddush is b'shas avidasa when they couldn't wear the shal yad, even so they wore the shal roish, and it says with an expression of Chayavim.
It's because they say doichel loisas. What's the reason that they can get away with it?
Because since they can't do the shol yad, so they wear a shol yad without a shol yad. No. It's not in the midst of filling.
No, but it's two S's.
No, there's no chatzitza here.
No, because of the mil.
Right, the shol yad. So they don't wear the shol yad.
Right, but they can't wear the rosh without the shol yad.
Right, but that's not a loisaset. That's part of the midst of filling. Bahayu, we learn from Bahayu, the Lashon Rabbin, that when you have a shol rosh, you have to have a shol yad. But for the kehanim, they couldn't have a shol yad, so they wear the shol rosh without a shol yad. The Shagas Aryeh says that from that Gemara, we learn a chiddush that somebody that doesn't have any arm, Chaman Lutzlan, so he can never put on the shal yad, he wears a shal resh without a shal yad. That even though he's never going to be Mekayim, this called Masha Menachi Yushtayim, but we see that it's not Ma'akev, which Agav is an interesting thing. You know, there's generally there's a rule that the Ritvan a few places speaks this out, that we don't find lechatchilos on a deraisa level. Usually, whenever we say that something the chachil you're supposed to do it this way, but b'diyeved you yotzei without it, you only find that by drabanans. In drabanans, it's very usual to have lechatchilas and b'diyeved. In deiraisas, outside of kachim, by kachim there's an exception. Kachim there's a lot of there's a klal that shana by kasav la'akev, that anything that the Torah doesn't say twice is not ma'akev, meaning it's only lechatchilas. But outside of kachim, the Torah tells us how a mitzvah is done. And if you do it, then you're yaitzeh. And if you don't do it the way the Torah says how it's done, then you're not yaitzeh. The Torah just tells you what the mitzvah is. So we almost never, again, there was a ritva that says we don't find the raisas that are only l'chachila and apadiyeved. But there are some occasional exceptions, but it's always something noteworthy. So this drasha is one of those noteworthy exceptions that we learn from the pasuk of Ahayu, that calls mashmei nechi yushtayim, but nevertheless the kehanim that couldn't wear shalyad, they wore the shalrosh. Mm-hmm. So it's a din deiraisa, but it's only chatchil. It's not ma'akev, and you could wear the shalyad, the shalrosh without the shalyad.
Why couldn't they wear the shalyad over the male chatzitza?
Oh, because then it'll be chatzitza the other way around.
Off of the tefillin.
Right. Good.
Where's this brought down that they wore it? I never saw that.
That they wore the shalrosh without the shalyad? Erech and Daf Gimel. Now, the problem is that the Gemara also says, this is in Zvachim Daf Yutes, that the Kehan and Meshach HaVidastan were peturim min hatfila u'min hatfilin, because Isaac b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. They're doing the Avodah now, there's work to do, Shchita, Zvika, Kabbalah, Halacha. So, they didn't have to daven at that time. And they didn't have to put on tefillin. That's the lashon of the raisa. Patur min hatfila u'min hatfilin. So a number of mefarshim ask that the raisa in Erechin says the kayanim achayavim, hakol chayavim betfilin, kayanim levim yisraelim. And the Gemara explains that it's talking about kayanim b'shas avidasim. Otherwise, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is b'shas avidasim when they couldn't wear the shalyah, but still they were chayavim the shalresh. It used the lashon of chayavim. But there's a raisa in Maseches Vachim that says that there's always a mitzvah patur min hamitzvah and they're patur b'shas avidasim. The Shit Bukubetzes on the side of the page over there in Erechin asks this question. So the Shit Bukubetzes says that it means, when it says the Isaac Mitzvah Patam Mitzvah meant if there was no time, the Avodah really took precedence. So if, you know, you showed up to work and the supervisor said, you, we need somebody to catch the blood over there. Go, you know, do the Kabbalah Saddam. And you didn't put on your tefillin yet, so you don't say, I have to put on my tefillin first. Isaac Mitzvah Patur Min Mitzvah. So you go, you do the Kabbalah Saddam. But if you got to work early, and people are still milling around, you put on your tefillin. That's what the Shit Bukubetzes says. So there's Isaac Mitzvah Patur Min Mitzvah, but if it's not interfering, then chayav.
Kind of a b'dyevet, the katechil b'dyevet.
Okay, or after the kind of shnayim.
But that's a pashut. If you're not doing it.
So that means there's a machlok to be showing him whether Isaac Mitzvah Patur Min Mitzvah is only when it's Eif Shel Kayim Shneim or even when it's Eif Shel Kayim Shneim. Well, maybe a topic for a different day. But
if they have the time. If they're not doing the Avodah.
Yeah.
Like you say, they're sitting around in the room,
right.
You know, in the room waiting for a job.
So then,
why wouldn't they have to daven?
Maybe if you're on call,
yeah.
Because
they're on call.
Maybe Isaac Mitzvah. They're still
on call. Isaac Mitzvah.
Is
it going to
be
begadim?
That's the mitzvah. Wearing the begadim, is that the mitzvah? Also, is that
interesting? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's the mitzvah of wearing the begadim. I'm not sure. I hear. But the Shita says, like you, that no avada they do have to put on if they have time. So that's how the Shita Mitzvah answers this. Steer between on the one hand it says in one place the Isaac Mitzvah Patur Min Mitzvah, on the other hand it says that they're chayavim. It means that if they have time without interfering with their avodah, then they're chayavim. But if not, then we say Isaac Mitzvah Patur Min Mitzvah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in his sefer, I mentioned before that he has a sefer on Maseches Tefillin. So he has a diuk over there that the Rambam didn't learn like this Shita Bukubetzes. The Rambam, when he says the halacha, the kahanim put on tefillin. The Rambam says Mefurish, he says the Kehanim were parted from Tefillin, and the Shalyad was a Chatzitza. They couldn't wear a Shalyad. The Shalresh was not a Chatzitza. V'im hayoreitze hayameniach tefillah Shalresh. The Rambam says if a Kohen wanted to put on the Shalresh, he was allowed to put on the Shalresh. But it's Mefurish in that he was not obligated to. Why? Because like it says in Maseches Vachem, because Isaac Mitzvah Patur Min Mitzvah, so you don't have to. It's just voluntary. But the Braisa in Erechen uses the Lashon of Chayavim. How do you reconcile that Lashon of Chayavim if the Rambam says it was really never more than voluntary? So if Chaim Kanievsky says he need that for the Rambam we need a new Teretz, right? The Shidduch Beis has already asked this kasha of why does it say Chayavim if there was really an Oiskim Mitzvah Patam Mitzvah. He answers the Shita that they were Chayavim if they had time. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that since I see in the Rambam that he held they were not chayavim at all, even if they had time, it was entirely voluntary. So how could you say it's voluntary if the Braisa used the Lashon of Chayavim? Or why does the Braisa use the Lashon of Chayavim if really it was voluntary? So he's going to try to say a Shtikl Torah to explain this Rambam. And it's really in two steps. There's first he begins by referring to a Shtikl Torah that he says elsewhere, and then we're gonna go over there. And then bring it back to being the Ash of this Rambam.
Which bracha would he make when he puts on the Rosh?
That's a great question. Which bracha, if somebody puts on just a Shal Rosh, you could.
Loniach.
I guess
Loniach.
Definitely Loniach. The question is whether also.
On mitzvahs?
But the Sfarim don't make the brachas.
And Shal Sfarim only make one bracha, right? You make only one, right?
One bracha.
Loniach.
Yeah.
Okay, so he says first let's go to a different inyan in Yoni Tefillin and Halchas Tefillin, which is a very geshmak shaila, the alumnus shaila having to do with Tefillin, the Bir Halacha and Simon Lamed Zayim brings down the machlokes between the Prima Gadim and the Shuvis Yaakov. There's a lot of other people that talk about it, but those are the two names that he gives the two sides of this debate. How are we magdir? How do we define the zman of the mitzvah of tefillin? And it's confusing because everybody knows, right? We all know what our practice is, but we also, I think we've even referred to this before in this venue, right? We know that our practice today does not really reflect the original mitzvah of tefillin. It's been adapted. What we do is we put on tefillin by shacharis. You come to shul in the morning with your tefillin bag, you put on tefillin for shacharis, you take off your tefillin after shacharis, and that's the end of your tefillin for the day. That's what almost everybody does. In the Gemara, it never says that you wear tefillin for shacharis. I mean, it does say that it's very important not to say Kriya Shema without tefillin, but it's not, the mitzvah is not connected to Kriya Shema or to shacharis per se. The mitzvah is a full-time mitzvah. It's all day long. But at a certain point in history, Klal Yisrael realized that we're not on a madrega to maintain the kedusha of the tefillin all day long, so we just wear it a little bit. So we just wear it by shacharis. But in the original halacha, that the tefillin should be worn all day long, what's the actual zman for the mitzvah? Is it a daily mitzvah, meaning you're supposed to wear it every day, and once you wear it, once you put it on Sunday, so even for a minute, so you yaitzei Sunday's mitzvah, now it's true, it's an all-day mitzvah, that means the more you wear it, the better. And if you wear it all day long, you'll get lots of mitzvahs. But that's as a mitzvah kiyumis. The more you do it, the better. But in terms of being yoytzei yidei chevasai, you fulfilled your obligation by wearing it for a minute on Sunday, and you next have to put it on Monday. That's the shita of the Prima Gadim. That is a daily mitzvah. You have to see to it that you don't, that a day doesn't go by, among the 6 days of the week, a day doesn't go by without tefillin. If you could check off all 6 days, you satisfied your obligation. If you wore more than that, you got many mitzvahs, bigger mitzvahs. But you satisfied your obligation if you could check off. Sunday check off, Monday check off, Tuesday. The Shuvas Yaakov argues, and he says, where does it say in the Torah that you should wear tefillin every day, daily? It says in the Torah, you should wear tefillin. It's a constant mitzvah. If you wore it on Sunday at 7 o'clock, so that helps for Sunday at 7 o'clock. But now, Sunday at 10 o'clock is not covered by that. And the Sunday at 7 o'clock doesn't cover Sunday at 10 any more than it covers Monday at 7. The fact that it's the same day or a different day is irrelevant. The mitzvah d'oraisa was the more you wear it, the better. What's an afkamina to illustrate? Let's say for some reason a person would have a choice. I don't know if there's a good practical way to make this choice. To give a case where a person would be faced with this choice. But let's suppose a person had a choice. He could wear his tefillin all day on Sunday, 10 hours. But then if he does that, he's not going to have tefillin Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Or he could get his tefillin for 5 minutes a day. I guess here's an example. He's in jail. He's in jail, and the you know that's the guard tells him that rule. If you want, you know, I'm not going to let you bother me all day every day, but Sunday I have free time. I'm going to let you wear the tefillin the whole day. I don't care. Or I can let you wear the tefillin 5 minutes every day. So which is better? So according to the Prima Gaudium, clearly, you know, the wearing it for 10 hours is just extra credit. But you need to wear it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Wearing it more on Sunday doesn't. Monday, you have to be Mekayim Monday's mitzvah. So according to the Prima Gaudium, clearly you say I want it 5 minutes a day. According to the Shuas Yaakov, the 5 minutes, 6 days in a row gives you 30 minutes. And if you wear it all day on Sunday, you have 10 hours. You have 600 minutes. 600 minutes is better than 30 minutes. The fact that it's all on one day instead of separate days is le'malav le'mayrid. The day is not a significant union of time in Hilchas Tefillin, according to the Shuas Yaakov.
According to Shuas Yaakov, we're in Noshim Petoris. Is it mitzvah seshas mangome?
Yeah, because it's still only by day, not by night. It's by day, not by night. That makes it mitzvah seshas mangome. That's according to both of them. But
you put it on every day, you're making brachas every day.
Right.
So according to Yeshua Yaakov, he doesn't care about that.
Right, you make a bracha.
If you can wait 30 hours in one day, still made only one bracha.
But according to both of them.
But here you have an opportunity to make more brachas every day.
So make a different bracha.
Right, you know, that's. You mean so that let that be a cheshbin in the jail guy? No, that's not a maila.
No,
I don't think so. So this case again, and the jail situation, this whatever make believe jail situation, just you know helps illustrate the difference between the two positions. So the Mishnah Berurah brings this down to Biur Halacha at the beginning of Siman Lamed Zayin that there's this debate again in nowadays it's not really doesn't make much of a practical difference because we do what we do even it's not really exactly the right thing but Klal Yisrael decided that we can't do more so we do what we do. But in the Ikur Hadin, the mitzvah, as it was practiced in the times of Chazal, was it a daily mitzvah or is it just a constant mitzvah? That's the Machlokes Prima Gaudium and the Yeshua Yaakov. An interesting nafka mina, just as an aside, before we come to Rav Chaim Kanievsky wanted to bring a raya, but to one side. But there's an interesting maisa when Rav Shach came to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know exactly when that was. I guess it... Was it after World War II? Was it before?
Before
World War II? He came to Eretz Yisrael, and he, from Lithuania, Ponovich is in Lithuania. I don't know if he was coming
to Ponovich. I think it was Ponovich.
He didn't learn in Ponovich. Where did he learn? I don't know, but somewhere in Lita. Somewhere in Lithuania. And he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was very distressed by the fact that the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael all did not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. His minig, the minig of Litvish Yidden, is that you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a very strong minhag that you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And on the one hand, he felt that, you know, just because, you know, to defer to minig HaMakayim, where it's could be a matter of violating a mitzvah d'oraisa, so that if he felt that his old minig was correct, so there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to wear tefillin on those 4 days in the middle to just be mevatel the mitzvah is no small thing. On the other hand, minig hamakom, especially the minig in Eretz Yisrael, is nesiaset al pi hagra to go against the minig hamakom is also no small thing. And he was very conflicted about this.
Al tiskay gedul.
Right, that's very important. So he came up with an eitzah based on that. He worked through this Shaila that we've been discussing. He brought Raya's from the Rambam. Other Raya's also Mustam. I don't know his whole Shugot Torah, but I know that one of his diyukim was that in the Rambam, it's very much mashma like the Yeshua's Yaakov. The Rambam doesn't say anywhere any reference to days when he's discussing the mitzvah of tefillin. And there's other diyukim also in the Rambam that seem to support the position of the Yeshua's Yaakov. So he came out that the Ikra is like the Yeshua's Yaakov. If the Ikra is like the Yeshua's Yaakov, so that means it doesn't really matter so much that you know which day. It's more a matter of how much time altogether. So in the days leading up to Yom Tov, let's say ordinarily he wore tefillin for an hour a day, right? If it was a nice slow davening in Ponovich, so let's say he wore tefillin for an hour a day, an hour and a half a day. So the week before Yom Tov, right, a few days before Yom Tov, every day he would leave on the tefillin for let's say 2 hours or 2.5 hours, and then he didn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But overall, his net tefillin wearing was not any lower because of not wearing a Chol HaMoed, since he wore more before. And of course, this would not work according to the Prima Gaudim. But since he held that the Iker is like the Yeshua Yaakov, he brought rice from the Raman like the Yeshua Yaakov, so like this was a way that he could feel better about following the minhag of Eretz Yisrael of not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the story is that he came to the Briska Rav. I don't know exactly with the chronology, because the Briska Rav came later than he did. I guess maybe when the Briska Rav came, he came and he went to the Briska Rav. He shared this with him to ask him what he thought of his patent. You know, the Rav Shach came up with this great idea, and what does he think of it? And the Briska Rav said that he had the same shtickle Torah. And he said, and I said it at my bar mitzvah, and my father Rav Chaim liked it very much. That's what he told Rav Shach. Rav Shach's shekel Torah. It was his bar mitzvah shetel. That was the mitzvah.
And his father didn't write it for him.
Right. That's part of the story. Right. His father didn't write it for him. He said it, and his father liked it. Anyway, so they held the Iker like the Yeshua's Yaakov. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, I hold the Iker like the Prima Gaudim. And he said, I'll bring you a raya that no one else has brought yet into this. There's been a lot of writing on this machlekes, but he said that no one chapped yet that there's a Gemara in Shavuos that it's kemat. He says kemat, it's a mefurish raya from a Mishnah that like the Prima Gaudim. There's a Mishnah daf chavtes in Shavuos that if somebody says Shvua shalai achalti hayoim or shalai hinachti tefillin hayoim, makes a shvua that I didn't eat today, or a shvua that I didn't put on tefillin today, so that's a valid shvua, and if it's false, so he's chayav a carbon shvua for that. The Gemara says that there's a machlekes rav and shvua. The Gemara on Daf Chaf Hey brings this Mishnah in the middle of a discussion about shvua. There are some that hold that in order for a shvua to be a real shvua or a full-fledged shvua, to be chayav a carbon shvua, you need that it should be b'la'avar u'b'la'haba. That it has to be something that could be said both about the past and about the future. So, for example, a shvua that I didn't eat today, theoretically, one can make a shvua that I didn't eat today. Yeah, and a person could also make a shvua that I won't eat today. So that's a good shvua, and that's a shvua that if it's false or if it gets violated, you'd be chayav a carbon shvua.
Sorry,
but
that
depends
on
what time.
I don't understand. So he's saying, by making that shvua, he's saying, I also won't eat.
No, he could make either one of those two shvuas. He can make a shvua that I didn't eat. He could also make a shvua that I won't eat. But a shvua that couldn't be flipped around to the from the past to the future, or from the future to the past, isn't a full-fledged shvua. It doesn't have all of the dinim of the parasha. So, again, that's the opinion of Shmuel,
too,
that it wouldn't be chayav a carbon shvua. Rav holds that it still would. He holds you don't have this requirement. So the Gemara says, but the Mishnah gave us the example of a shvua shaloi hinachti tefillin hayoyim, and it says chayav. Now, let's say you would make that shvua in the reverse, shvua shaloi aniach tefillin hayoyim.
Yeah.
Well, that's a shvua levat las hamitzvah. You can't make a shvua levat las hamitzvah because you're mushmav
on
the Har Sinai.
Maybe you put it on already.
So, no, that's not shaloi aniach tefillin hayoyim. That. Oh, you mean you could make the shvua shaloi aniach? I hear.
I
am not sure.
I won't put it on.
I don't know.
No, you for the next day.
Okay, you mean so the Gemara assumes that it means a full day. You're saying why is that lashon necessarily have to mean a full day? I'm not sure. I hear. But let's just work with the assumptions that the Gemara is making.
It means
a full day. So the Gemara asks if a shvua has to be able to be flipped around to the future, like Shmuel holds, then why are you chayav for the shvua shaloi hinachti tefillin hayoyim? Because you wouldn't be chayav for shvua shaloi aniach tefillin hayoyim. It's a good kasha. According to Shmuel, you have to say that when it says chayev, it doesn't mean chayev a carbon shvua. It means only that you chayev the malchus, but you wouldn't be chayev a carbon shvua because this is. But because of the Gemara is without getting into the nitty gritty details, the Gemara is saying this is an example of a shvua that could not be flipped around to the future because you can't make a shvua shalei in the etzlan ayay. Now Tosfos points out that this nekuda that the shvua is your chayev, even though it couldn't be flipped around to the future, that's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah. That's before Shun Taisis, that there isn't any other chiddush in the Mishnah. This whole Mishnah was taught to teach us that this is a good shvua, even though it can't be flipped around to the future. Frekt Reb Chaim Kanievsky, why does the Mishnah use the word hayoyim? If he wants to give an example of a shvua about the past that you couldn't make for the future, because for the future would be a bitul mitzvah. Let's say you would say a shvua that I didn't put on tefillin in the past hour. So if you would say about the future that I won't put on tefillin in the past hour, you can't do that according to the Shuas Yaakov, because Mushrabe Marasina, you have to put on tefillin all the time. Right? For the, I mean, if you make a shvua, you're not going to put on for the next hour, that's a bitul mitzvah. The next 5 minutes, that's also a bitul mitzvah. There's no significance to the day. But the Mishnah, when it wants to give an example of a shvua that you couldn't make because it's going to be mevatel on the mitzvah, it talks about wearing tefillin for a day. So you see from that Mishnah that the unit of time that defines a bitul mitzvah tefillin is a day. So that's a raya to the Prima Gadim, not like the Yeshua's Yaakov. That's Rav Chaim Kanievsky. This is, in his Pirush on the Braises of Masechta Tefillin. So in Braise Chav Gimel, he says this to prove that the Prima Gadim is right. There's more in that piece. He brings the Gemara that Yeshua's Yaakov used to bring a raya to his position, and he shlugs up that right, he pushes up that right. But we don't have time for that. We'll leave it with that. But as Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, he proves that the Prima Gadim's position is correct. Based on that, so now let's go back to the earlier discussion. Now this is in the same Sefer on Braisa Yud Ches. Over there, he made the diuk in the Rambam that the Rambam holds that the Kohanim were not really obligated to put on tefillin. They were potter because Isaac was a potter and a mitzvah. Because the Rambam's lashon is very clear. It says, "Im rotzel haniach tefillin, you're allowed to put on a shal reish, but not a shal yad." But it's only im rotzel haniach, so they weren't obligated to. Why? Well, because Isaac was a potter and a mitzvah. That's easy. But the problem is, but the Braisa in Erech and Dav Gimel says they were chayavim. Hakol chayavim b'mitzvah tefillin kehanim b'mi'yisraelim, and it means b'shas the avoda. So what do you make of that word chayavim if they really weren't chayavim, they were really peturim? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, once I've proven that the Prima Gadim is correct, and let's just to bring out a little bit better, according to the Prima Gadim, that it's a daily mitzvah, that means one can speak about were you yotze, were you not yotze. You have to, you can wear tefillin all day, it's a bigger mitzvah, but if you put on today, you were yotze. You don't need to put on again until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. According to the Yeshua's Yaakov, there's no such thing as being yotze tefillin. If I wore tefillin, I got a mitzvah. Every time you wear tefillin, you get a mitzvah. But the fact that I wore tefillin this morning doesn't pater me from wearing this afternoon. The fact that I've been wearing the past hour doesn't pater me from the next hour. I have to wear as much as I can. If I can't, I can't. But it has nothing to do with the fact that I wore already. So you can never use the expression yotze yidei chavase, that he already fulfilled his obligation according to the Shuas Yaakov. But according to the Prima Gadim, you could. Zokim Chaim Kanievsky, when the Braisa says that the Kehanim are chayavim betfilin, and like we said, the Gemara explains that that's a big chiddush, because even though they're not wearing the shalyad, because the shalyad interferes with the ksainis, so they couldn't wear the shalyad. They're wearing just the shalresh without the shalyad. You might have thought that there's no such thing as a mitzvah of a shalresh without a shalyad, because kozman shavein anechi yu shtayim. Kamash malon is teaching us that there is such a thing. You get a mitzvah when you wear the shalresh without the shalyad. So the Chaim Kanievsky said, what does that mean? When they get home, let's say they're in the Beis HaMikdash doing the avodah from early in the morning till, let's say, 2 in the afternoon. And then they get home at 3 o'clock. Do they have to put on again? Or were they yotze already?
Anybody.
What do you mean? Let me present it as an open question. So they have to put on again. So according to the Shuas Yaakov, the question is not relevant. So of course they have to put on again. I mean, like everybody, you put on in the morning, you have to put on again, because you have to put on as much as you could. But according to the Prima Gadim, I wore tefillin in the morning, but only the shal rosh. I wasn't wearing a shal yad. Maybe if you're not wearing a shal yad, you're not called the bar chiyuva in tefillin. If the mitzvah of tefillin would be defined as Yushtayim, that a shal reish without a shal yad is not a mitzvah. So that means if you can't wear the shal yad, you're not a bar chiyuva in the shal reish. And the nafkamina would be that even though you were wearing it, but you didn't get the mitzvah, because it's like a bar petura. Somebody who does the mitzvah b'shas petur is not really yaitzeh. If somebody, at the Gemara Rashan Daf Havches, if somebody is sometimes a shaita and sometimes not, and he eats matzah while he's a shaita, but then later in the evening, he's feeling better, and his das, now he has das tzula. So the halacha is, yes, very important, halacha l'maisa, Yisrael, be careful if you eat the matzah wall. You know, wall one is a shaita, Rahman al-Islan. But that's the example of the Gemara, but that if somebody does a mitzvah while he's potter, and then it becomes chayev, then his state of bar chiyuva returns, he has to do the mitzvah again. You're not yoytzi with the mitzvah you did during the shas that you were a bar petura. So if a person, so with these kehanim, the Gemara is saying that sal kedai techamina, that since they're not wearing the shal yad, so they don't wear the shal reish either, means that sal kedai techamina, that since you're not wearing the shal yad, that's not called a bar chiyuva. And so even if you wear it, you're not yaitse. Kamashmal on the no. You can't wear the shal yad, but the shal reish you can have without the shal yad. So you can wear the shal reish, you're called a bar chiyuva, you're getting a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Now, you're not, strictly speaking, you're not chayev bedavar, because they can miss a patam and a mitzvah, but that doesn't take you out of being a bar chiyuva. The not having the shal yad, there was a sal kedai techamina, that would make you not a bar chiyuva. To that, the Gemara says, kamashmal on the no, you are called a bar chiyuva and you're yaitse. So when the Braisa used the lashon akul chayavin, and we had a kasha, but you're not really chayavim, because Isaac missed a potam and a mitzvah. So Zokif Chaim Kenevsky, Enechanim, it doesn't mean chayavim, that they had to do it. Chayavim meant that they're considered a bar chiyuva. That you might have thought that the kehan and b'shal sefidotan are not called a bar chiyuva, meaning they're not b'chalal the mitzvah, since they're not wearing a shal yad, and a shal reish without a shal yad is nishkei mitzvah. So you might think that's not called doing a mitzvah at all. So the Braisa says, kol chayavim, to tell you that you're a bar chiyuva, and that the mitzvah that you do at that time counts as a real mitzvah. L'may nafkamina that you yaitzei chavos, you don't have to put it on again when you get home at 3:00. Now all this wouldn't be relevant according to the Yeshuas Yaakov. According to the Yeshuas Yaakov, we can never even speak about yaitzei chavos. You have to put it on anyway when you get home at 3:00. But according to the Prima Gaudium, that there is such a thing as being yaitzei chavos, then we could say that when the Braisa used the word chayavim, true, it didn't mean chayavim literally, but it used the word chayavim to say that you're a bar chiyuva, and therefore the mitzvah that you did is a mitzvah with which you could be yaitzei. And then you don't have to put it on again when you get home. So we have a pshat in what it says chayovim, even according to the Rambam. Mm-hmm. That's what Chaim Kanievsky's pshat in this Hakol Chayovim.
From the Torah, you see that it means every day.
Yeah,
because the Torah tells us, today and every day. Otherwise, it wouldn't say the word hayom.
I hear. Okay.
That proves that. Every day.
Okay.
Is it the chuya or chutra?
What do you mean?
You have an answer.
I am going to Avos Hashem.
You couldn't do it because...
Only for the Avos Hashem?
Yeah.
No, why would it say Hayyam?
For the Avos.
It's not a matter of Isur. Chuya and chutra is when we talk about Isurim. Over here it's Dinim in the Mitzvah. Wait, what? One more Nakuda about this hanachas tefillin of the kehanim. We mentioned that, right, somebody was ma'ir before, right, we said that the shal roish was no chiddush, the shal yad they couldn't wear because it was the chatzitza. The shal roish, there was no chatzitza. So Tosfos, Svachim Daf Yutes, Tosfos asked, so what then is the chiddush? I mean, the Brice even says a lashon that it wasn't a chatzitza. What's the chiddush that is in the chatzitza? I mean, there's no begadim over there. The mitznefes was higher, the tzitz was lower. So what's the chiddush? So Tosfos says, So Tosfos first says that maybe the chiddush of the Braisa Gufa was to tell us that they should leave space. And it says the tefillin wasn't a chatzitza, it means that they should know that the mitznefes should be high enough, the tzitz should be low enough, and there should be space. Okay, then Tosfos says, or maybe a little bit of a more lamdish pshat, the chiddush was that the tefillin are not considered a chatzitza to the psilei hatzitz. And this is already a lamdish chiddush in Hilchas Big Day Kahuna, which was not, that's not our main inyan now, but just very briefly, we know one of the eight begadim was called the tzitz. What's the tzitz? So the tzitz is a golden plate that rests on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, but the plate is not going to remain suspended in midair. So there are psilei tcheles, so a whole arichas in the psukim, a few times, the Torah describes in detail the psilei tcheles, the blue threads that held up the tzitz. Mm-hmm. So you could clear a chakira. When we talk about the tzitz, the heftza of the tzitz, that was one of the big day kahuna, was that the plate plus the threads? Or was is the tzitz just the plate and you need to have threads to keep the tzitz in place? But the threads themselves are just a hechatimsa. They're just something to hold the Big Day Kahuna there? Or are they also part of the Big Day Kahuna? What's the Nafkamina? Is there a Tayras Chatzitza? Is there a Psul Chatzitza on the Psilei Chatzitz? So Zok Taisvis, the Chiddush of the Braisa is that the Ritzuos are not considered a Chatzitza, meaning that we're not concerned that there's a Chatzitza under the Psilei Chatzitz, meaning because the Psilei Chatzitz are not really considered part of the Big Day Kahuna.
That's the Chiddush.
Right, that's what Taisvis says, the Chiddush of the Braisa. But the Malbim says that, I say, okay, that's as far as Hilchas Big Day Kahuna. But the Malbim in Hilchas Tfilin says, the Malbim wrote a Sefer Aris Yisachayim on the beginning of Arachayim, and over there in Simen Chav Zayin, he says that from this Taisvis, I learn a Chiddush, like I'm Hilchas Tfilin, that it was Pasha to Taisvis that the Ritzuois were against his head, and the Psilei Chatzitz on top of that. And that's what Taisvis said. I see from here that there's no Teres Chatzitza on the Psilei Chatzitz. How does Taisvis know? Maybe it was the other way around. Maybe the Tzitz was on the bottom, and then the Ritzu was on top of that. Teretz says, that was Pasha to tell you, says that you can't wear tefillin on top of that, because that would be a chatzitza to the Ritzuites. In Shulchan Aruch it says that there's only a din of chatzitza on the bottom, and no chatzitza, there's no din of chatzitza on the Ritzuites.
Otherwise you have to shave your head. Otherwise you would have to shave your head.
Otherwise we would say the hair is not a chatzitza, but the hair is part of the guf, it's bottled to the guf. But the Shulchan Aruch.
You're not allowed to double over your hair. Could only be one strand.
Okay.
Smooth.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise, it's a
chassid. Okay. I don't know. I guess my rebbeim never had to tell me. Because there's always one kid in the class that the rebbe has to say that too.
That's an after question.
I've been to yeshiva. No problem.
So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramos says that there's only chatzitza on the bottom, no chatzitza on the ritzuos. Zok the Malbim, I've arrived from Taisvis, not like that. Because in Taisvis it says that the Ritzuos were underneath. Why was it so partial Taisvis that the Ritzuos were underneath? Vaitzitz, because Taisvis holds that there is a Teres Chatzitza on the Ritzuos. So the Malbim comes to argue with the Ramah, and it's brought down to the Mishmur. The Mishmur says that we're Makbid on Chatzitza, even on Ritzuos, and that's based on, the Malbim's not the only one, but the Malbim is one that brings this Raya from the Taisvis in Zvachim. So the Shalyad is a little bit of a. It's true that the Shalyad is there's more of a din chatzitza by the Shalyad than there is by a Shal Rosh. So yes, according to this Malbim.
I think it's only up here.
The Mishabura says.
Right, from the Rosh.
No, we mean this part.
No, he's too much
Ritzuos.
Obviously
not the ones that hang down.
So on the Shalyad, the Mishabur, if I'm not mistaken, says that the Akpada is on that part of the Ritzuos that holds it tight.
Which is the same thing as
there here. So in the Dirshim Mishabur, I think it says that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said that which we take the people on to take off their watch is a minog. That's the minog is that where Chaim didn't let people to wear watches, right? The minig is that we take off the watch, but Ikrid, you really don't have to. But you should, because that's the minig. Anyway, the Shabur brings down the Malba made this diuk from Taisa. Mm-hmm. This is the Makar, so they did the Ritzui should also be Chaitz. Another Chiddush we see from this tefillin, this Hanach tefillin of the Big Day Kahuna. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has another sefer that we didn't mention yet called Derech Chachma. I said he wrote Derech Amuna on the Rambam Hilchas Zrayim. He started a series called Derech Chachma on the Rambam Hilchas Kachim, the Rambam Svarim on Inyani Kachim. As far as I know, I don't think that he completed it, but on this Rambam Hilchas Kleya Mikdash, which is at the beginning of Sefer Avodah, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky makes a diuk in the Rambam that this Rambam argues with that Taisvis. Again, Taisvis had said that the Chiddush of the Braisa was that we're not concerned about Chatzitza on the Psilei Chatzitz, which means that Taisvis was assuming that the Tefillin were under, and the Tzitz went on top of that. Chaim Kamenevsky said, I see in the Rambam not like that, because on the Rambam, when he goes through the Seder Levisha, and he keeps on saying, Va'achakach, Va'achakach, and he has the Tzitz going on before the Tefillin. Mm-hmm. The Tefillin go on at the end. Now, if the Tzitz goes on before the Tefillin, then obviously the Ritzuis of the Tefillin are going to be on top of the Psilei Chatzitz. So, in both directions. You're not going to have the makar that there's a din, that there's, you're not going to have the makar that there's no din chatzitza on the psilei tzitz, and you're also not going to have the makar that there is a din chatzitza on the ritzuis. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to get reversed according to the Rambam. But Al-Kapanim, he in his Sefer Derech HaChachma, he makes this diag that in the Rambam it's mashma not like Taisis, and Melam, not like the halacha that the Malbim was machadish based on that Taisis.
Then, I mean, were the Shalyad according to that?
No. This is all just about the Shalyad. The Shalyad they couldn't wear because it's going to make a chatzitza for the psoinis.
Okay, if he's doing it on top.
No. The shel yad you can't put on top. The shel roish could be on top, but the shel yad you can't put on top.
How does Sfardim wear?